Welcome to the Theatron Project. Hello and welcome to this episode of Refresh or Reshelf. For today's program, we are looking at a piece from 1919 entitled Fame and the Poet. Fame and the Poet is written by Lord Dunsey, otherwise known as Edward John Morton Drax Plunkett, the 18th Baron of Dunsey. In this piece, we address the topic of be careful what you wish for, as our main character, Harry DeReeves, a poet, receives exactly what he's always dreamed of. As always, be sure to stick around following the piece for a discussion with myself and the actors as we answer that question of refresh or reshelf. We find our main character, the poet, Harry DeReeves, sitting at a table writing. Enter in his good friend, Dick Prattle. Well, with no further ado, here is Fame and the Poet.
Hello, Dick. Good Lord, where are you from?
The ends of the earth.
Well, I'm damned.
Thought I'd drop in and see how you were getting on.
Well, that's splendid. What are you doing in London?
Well, I wanted to see if I could get one or two decent ties to wear. Can't get nothing out there. Then I thought I'd have a look and see how London was getting on.
Splendid. How is everybody?
All going strong.
That's good.
But what are you doing?
Writing.
Writing? I didn't know you wrote.
Yes, I've taken to it, rather.
I say, writing's no good. What are you writing?
Oh, poetry.
Poetry? Oh, good Lord.
Yes, that sort of thing, you know.
Good Lord. You don't make any money by it.
No, hardly any.
I say, why don't you chuck it?
Oh, I don't know. Some people seem to like my stuff, rather. That's why I go on.
I'd chuck it if there's no money in it.
Ah, but then it's hardly in your line, is it? You'd hardly approve of poetry if there was money in it.
No, I don't say that. If I could make as much by poetry as I can by betting, I don't say I wouldn't try the poetry touch, only,
Only what?
Oh, I don't know. Only there seems more sense in betting somehow.
Well, yes. I suppose it's easier to tell what an earthly horse is going to do than to tell what Pegasus is.
What's a Pegasus?
Oh, it's the winged horse of poets.
I say, you don't believe in winged horses, do you?
In our trade, we believe in all fabulous things. They all represent some large truth to turn us. An emblem like Pegasus is as real a thing to a poet as a Derby winner would be to you.
Then you believe in nymphs and fauns and Pan and all those kinds of birds?
Yes. Yes, in all of them.
Good Lord.
You believe in the Lord Mayor of London, don't you?
Yes, of course, but what has that...
4 million people or so made him Lord Mayor, didn't they? And he represents to them the wealth and dignity and tradition of...
Yes, but I say,
well,
what has all
this... he stands for an idea to them, and they made him Lord Mayor. And so he is...
Well, of course he is.
In the same way Pan has been made by what he is by millions. By millions to whom he represents world-old traditions.
I say, you old heathen, but good Lord.
Look out! Look out!
What? What's the matter?
The screen.
Oh, sorry, yes. I'll put it right.
No, right there.
What? Why not?
Oh, you wouldn't understand.
Wouldn't understand? Why, what have you got?
Oh, one of those things. You wouldn't understand.
Of course I'd understand. Let's have a look.
That is all. What do you make of it?
I say, you always were an untidy devil.
Well, what do you make of it?
It reminds me of your room at Eton.
My room at Eton?
Yes, you always had paper all over your floor.
Oh, yes.
And what are these?
All these are poems. And this is my altar to fame.
To fame?
The same that Homer knew.
Good Lord.
Keats never saw her. Shelley died too young. She came late at the best of times. Now, scarcely ever.
But my good fellow, you don't mean that you think there really is such a person?
I offer all my songs to her.
But you don't mean you think you could actually see fame?
We poets personify abstract things. And not poets only, but sculptors and painters too. All the great things of the world are those abstract things.
But what I mean is they're not really there like you and me.
To us, these things are more real than men. They outlive generations. They watch the passing of kingdoms. We go by them like dust. And there, they are still there, unmoved, unsmiling.
But you can't think you could see fame. You don't expect to see it.
Not to me. Never to me. She of the golden trumpet and Greek dress will never appear to me. We all have our dreams.
I say, what have you been doing all day?
I? Oh, only writing a sonnet.
Is it a long one?
Not very.
About how long is it?
About 14 lines.
I tell you what it is.
Yes?
I tell you what, you've been overworking yourself. I once got like that on board the Sandhurst, working for the passing out exam. I got so bad that I could have seen anything.
Seen anything?
Lord, yes. Horned pigs, snakes with wings, anything. One of your winged horses, even. They gave me some stuff called bromide for it. You take a rest.
But, my dear fellow, you don't understand at all. I merely said that abstract things are to a poet as near and real and visible as one of your bookmakers or barmaids.
I know. You take a rest.
Well, perhaps I will. I'd come with you to that musical comedy you're going to see, only I'm a bit tired after writing this. It's a tedious job. I'll come another night.
How do you know I'm going to see a musical comedy?
Well, where would you go? Hamlet's on at the Lord Chamberlain's. You're not going there.
Do I look like it?
No.
Well, you're quite right. I'm going to see The Girl from Bedlam. So long. I must push off now. It's getting late. You take a rest. Don't add another line to that sonnet. 14's quite enough. You take a rest. Don't have any dinner tonight. Just rest. I was like that once myself. So long.
So long. Good old Dick. He's the same as ever. Lord, how time passes. Well, that's finished. I can't do any more to it. No, I will not put it there. This one is worthy of the altar. If that sonnet does not give me fame, nothing that I have done before will give it to me. Nothing that I ever will do. Well, well. Fancy seeing Dick again. Well, Dick enjoys his life, so he's no fool. What was it he said? There's no money in poetry. You'd better chuck it. 10 years' work, and what have I to show for it? The admiration of men who care for poetry. And how many of them are there? There's a bigger demand for smoked glasses to look at eclipses of the sun. Why should fame come to me? Haven't I given up my days for her? That is enough to keep her away. I am a poet. That is enough reason for her to slight me. Proud and aloof and cold as marble, what does fame care for us? Yes, Dick is right. It's a poor game, chasing illusions, hunting the intangible, pursuing dreams. Dreams? Why, we ourselves are dreams. We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded with a sleep. My room at Eton, Dick said. An untidy mess. So it was. And it's an untidy mess there, too. Dick's right. I'll tidy it up. I'll burn the whole damned heap. Every damned poem that I was ever fool enough to waste my time on.
So, you have come. Divine, fair lady, you have come. This is my sonnet. Is it well done?
You're a bit of all right.
What?
Some poet.
I scarcely understand.
You're it.
But it is not possible. Are you she that knew Homer?
Homer? Lord, yes. Blind old bat. He couldn't see a yard.
Heavens!
Hi, boys. Hi. Say hi, folks. Hi, he's a poet. What's your name?
DeReeves.
His name's DeReeves.
Harry DeReeves.
His pals call him Harry. Say, what's your favourite colour?
I don't quite understand.
Well, which do you like best? Green or blue?
Oh, blue. No, I think green.
Green's his favourite colour. Hey, tell us something. We want to know all about you.
Wouldn't you perhaps... Would they care to hear my sonnet? If you would,
Here, what's this?
Oh, that's my pen.
He writes with a quill. Here, what you've got in here?
Oh, those are my breakfast things.
What have you got had on this one?
Oh, eggs and bacon.
He has eggs and bacon for breakfast. Boy, and what's this?
Oh, a golf stick.
He's a man's man. He's a virile man. He's a manly man.
Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is terrible. One moment. One moment.
Well, out with it.
For 10 years, divine lady, I have worshipped you, offering all my songs. I find I am not worthy.
Oh, you're all right.
No, I am not worthy. It cannot be. It cannot possibly be. Others deserve you more. I must say it. I cannot possibly love you. Others are worthy. You will find others. But I... No. It cannot be. It cannot be. Oh, pardon me, but it must not be. Oh. I fear I've offended you.
Oh.
But it cannot be.
Oh, that's all right, old bird. No offense. I ain't gonna leave you.
But I do not understand.
I've come to stay, I.
Oh no.
And that is Fame and the Poet, written in 1919 by Lord Dunsey.
So, let's start by introducing everyone.
I'm Jacob Chapman. I played the poet.
I'm Lanny Call. I played Fame.
And I'm Ethan Williams, and I played Dick Prattle.
And with Refresh and or Reshelf, the question is always, should this be refreshed or should it be reshelved?
What do we think?
It's definitely fun.
Yeah.
What a diplomatic answer, huh?
It's fun, and it is interesting to engage with a concept in a literalized way. And so it's definitely a fun way to look at the implications of, if you desire fame, what are you really desiring? And what does fame really give you? And so I think the topic is actually well explored. As a dramatic piece, I think there are some elements that could make it more better, more relevant.
more better.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I think this feels more of a sketch than a full piece.
Yeah.
I think it does bring up good discussions and, like, the worth of art and the aims of art for, like you were saying, like, what is the, is it, because he's literally praying to fame, mm-hmm. specifically fame, yes. not mm-hmm. creativity, not ingenuity, not, I want to be famous.
Yeah, he wants to be, he wants his work to be revered and be something that people feel moved or enlightened by, and that he'll get some attention for that. But I think it's wise to realize that fame is usually, like, people's interest in you will be about the uninteresting things about your life, the trivia.
That's superficial.
Exactly. It'll like,
his favorite color is green. Yeah. He eats bacon and eggs.
It'll be a fascination about the person instead of an engagement, a deep engagement with their work.
Which, and I don't remember. I don't think fame never even says out to the crowd that he's even a poet.
Right.
Yeah.
He just shows up, and it's this human being who's now famous.
It doesn't even mm-hmm. matter. Yeah.
He's it.
Yeah. It's kind of
about... Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just... You're it.
Yep. Y'all right?
It's always the plight of the artist, because whenever... You know, artists always want people to pay attention to them, to their work. Their work is important. It's mm-hmm. meaningful. But then finally, when people do pay attention, it's never to the right things.
Right. We have all these magazines nowadays that are all about famous people, and it's just talking about surface stuff, about their lives and who they're dating right now. Mm-hmm. It's never about their work. And even publications like, for example, Rolling Stone or Pitchfork magazine that are created by people who are wanting to engage with artifacts and evaluate them. Mm-hmm. Over the years, the sections of those magazines that are dedicated to music reviews and music criticism dwindle smaller and smaller. It becomes smaller and smaller paragraphs. Aww. And the rest of it becomes, you know, pieces, autobiographical pieces about the person's life instead of about the work. And it gets further and further separated. And so even when people are trying to be like, we're going to return to engaging with the art itself, usually those same publications, as time passes, become more and more about the fame, mm-hmm. the fame aspect, the fascination of the trivia about the people instead of about the work.
Yeah, so I think the topic is interesting. I do feel like this is kind of it's like eating a marshmallow. There's so much more you could go into it, but this was just kind of like fun and mm-hmm. sweet and nice, but... If this was to actually be redone, and there would need to be a lot more, I don't know, to chew on.
Yeah. Well, I think one, the character of Dick is a little bit interesting as far as like mm-hmm. if how you could build out more depth. You have this guy who's coming in and like, what you're writing? Like, oh, no, that's garbage. You don't make mm-hmm. any money on that. There's nothing of worth in that. Give it up. At the same time, he's going to the theater. He has to leave because he's going to go consume art.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's a, you know, like the poet is like, oh, but you're not going to Shakespeare. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to Shakespeare.
Right, yeah, I'm not going to that. The musical comedy, the lighthearted
the
stuff.
The silliness, yeah. And so it's interesting to be like, there's definitely interesting things going on about talking about elitism and in how we evaluate art. But that ultimately, that isn't what gets judged by the masses. It's not really about that. It's just more about, I don't know, it's more about other stuff.
I do appreciate that this story doesn't just, it's not a moral story that they just say, this is what's right and this is what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't really tell you what to think about it. You just get to experience fame.
Yes.
For yourself. And I think that would be really cool to, like, I always love when, like, fame or passion or love comes in the form of a human mm-hmm. because that human can just express everything within that.
And the description that Harry gives, that like what poets do, we mm-hmm. like Pegasus is as real to me as the Lord Mayor, or we believe this thing, so we endow them with power, so why aren't they real? Why don't we consider it real? We do that with other things.
Right. And I think it's useful to be like, if I were to engage with this thing, the embodiment, if this was embodied in somebody and I interacted with it, would it go the way I idealized that it would go? Or would it go a direction that would, you know, would the reality be disappointingly different? And so in some ways, he's left it, he would now need to make a new choice about, like, what should I value? I obviously shouldn't value fame the way I used to. That used to be the only thing I'm interested in. And so what is worth putting all your time and attention? 10 years. And then once he gets it, he's like, oh, this isn't it.
Whoops.
Yeah, exactly. So what should we value and what should we be spending 10 years on?
Yeah, and I don't ever, maybe I have, but I rarely see people being like, I'm so grateful I'm famous. You know, but in my mind, I'm like, you better be grateful you're famous.
Right.
Because you be getting money.
It's usually that, like, the, you know, most artists, I think, whether they truly mean it or not, fame is the byproduct of what they want. It's not their actual aim.
Gotcha. Good artists, I hope.
Yeah. Well, you know, yes, that's a mass generalization there, I suppose, but.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, obviously we can't ask Lord Dunsey in 1919 what his aims were, but is this piece, like, if we were to redo it, yeah, you could, like, build it out, make it a little bit richer, but I guess I wonder, and the question is that what it's going for? Was that the intention? Or was the intention just, here's something small, take it, and now here, are we doing right now what the piece was intended for?
By engaging with the topic and talking it through.
As opposed to a fully formed, rich piece of work with really well-formed characters. Like, yes, it could be that, but if we were to create that, we're creating an entire another piece. Maybe that's not even what the intent of this was in the start.
I don't know what necessarily the intent was, but I love little short dynamic stories like this.
Yeah.
Like the Coen brothers. We just watched a movie. The Coen brothers, what is it called? The Ballad?
Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and they just have little vignettes.
Yeah. And those vignettes are similar to this, where it's not on the nose, but it's dynamic.
Yeah.
And I love that shit.
And, I'm like, and often when you finish not just one of these little vignettes in this particular movie, but when you finish a lot of their movies, you're often like, so what was the point of that? Like, that obviously wasn't about the plot coming full circle. That's obviously about the ideas at play in here. And so, yeah, I think it's useful to, there's incredible use in that kind of art that is supposed to be about, like, tackling an idea. And it, in some ways, I thought of this piece more as like a Saturday morning cartoon, like a little 15-minute thing that's engaging with, like, a problem for the character. The character has an objective, and they either get it or they don't, and then how do they feel about that?
Right.
And in some ways, it's a perfect example. A cartoon is a perfect example because it's outlandish and silly and, like, larger than life, you know? And so in some ways, yeah, it's accomplishing what those do for us.
Yeah, so at the end of this, we don't have to care about Harry at all. We don't have to care about Dick.
Yeah.
We don't have to care about fame, but we do find their discussion interesting enough to let that be something that we take from it.
Yes.
That's exactly how I felt about that Coen brothers. But so few people, everyone is so focused on relationships and creating these dynamic characters nowadays, which I think is excellent. But there's still a world where these are fascinating and so fun.
Yes.
So I would still love to see more stuff like this rather than everyone weeping over making dynamic, like, long story.
Well, again, I mean, obviously the topics of creation of art and the aims for them and the purpose of it. I mean, this was 1919, and yeah, the characters are a little dated. That, you know, the period that colors it is a little dated. But I mean, it kind of feels, I hate using the word timeless, but this, in this particular piece, maybe.
I'd love to see
it. In regard to the themes, I think it definitely has a challenge in its relevancy as far as it being easily followable and engaging to a modern audience a modern audience, I feel like a lot of people would just be like, what is even, I don't, this isn't fun. But if it were to be adapted in a way where the language was, you know, more accessible, a little more modern, I feel
like. Yeah, maybe instead of, like, he's going to a musical comedy, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go see the new Marvel film.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, you're not going to go see the next Coen Brothers film. You're going to go see the Marvel film.
Yeah. But I could see, like, you know, Rick and Morty.
I love the Marvel films. They're fine. Like,
yeah, they're enjoyable. But I could see Rick and Morty doing a little adaptation of this kind of story because they engage with ideas a lot on that show.
Jesus, what
the
fame would look like whenever she would arrive in that situation.
Oh my gosh.
Exactly. Yeah, it would be wild. They could do a lot with that.
Cool.
Very cool.
Well, again, that was Fame, written by Lord Dunsey in 1919. We hope that you'll continue the question of refresh or reshelf on our message board on our website at theatronproject.com or tweet at us at theatronproject. Until next time, see you later.